Blog Talk Radio.
Supplied. Brother Messenger, you are so important to me. I need you to survive. Good evening, everyone. It's co-producer here with Hodge the Hodge Podcast Radio. And tonight we have, as always on Sunday night, the so eloquent Messenger, always bringing us a word that lets us know we are where we need to be. We just need to wake up. Hello, Brother Messenger. How you doing this evening?
Once again, as always, my brother, I am extremely, extremely blessed.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And it's funny when I listen to that song. It's so funny because when they say where there are two touching and agreeing, I'll be in the midst. He stay in the midst of me and my big brother.
Amen, my brother. Amen. One of the things I just wanted to talk about, because I happened to venture out to a meeting today. They call it church, but it's a meeting. And I just listened to the words of the young man that brought the message today, and just how they have such a tendency to go into the Bible. Now, the Bible, as I stated in so many times, have some very inspiring words from individuals that have realized that they were in communion with God, and they took the time to put it to paper. And when they put it to paper, their experiences with God, we picked the paper up and made that paper gospel. And I sit in and I listen to the sermons and the preachings that I've been listening to for years and years and years. And it just, as they come out to me now, my spirit just doesn't receive it as I did when I had my eyes closed and my ears plugged up. And I was going through the motion. But now as they speak these words, the spirit just talks to me throughout the service, letting me know how a lot of the things that they say just is not true. We have gotten the wrong impression of who it is that God really is. We just always seem to put God in the same mindset that we're in. Because they feel that it is impossible for God to love us with the things that we do, even though he says that he loves us. He says that he loves us, but they still can't accept it. They still have to interject this fear into people that if you don't do like God has instructed me to tell you to do, then you are going to hell. And it's just so crazy, because God said in his word, my ways are not like your ways. So stop pinning what you think on God. God says that he loves us all. We are his children. Well, one of the examples that the preacher used today was God. You have to look at it just like you do a fruit or something. If you like bananas and one of the banana go bad, you throw the one bad banana away and keep the good ones. Do we really believe that that's how God works? Because if that be the case, according to what it is that the rules and the regulations that they have established, haven't we all gone bad? So doesn't that mean he's thrown all of us out? If you use that silly analogy, doesn't that mean that all of us are no good? Because they have a tendency to believe that we are filthy rags before God's eyesight. So why aren't we all just thrown out if we use that concept that he's trying to portray to the innocent, or I don't know what to call them, because after so many years of hearing stuff, if a child or somebody else was to come tell them the things that they hear, quote unquote, in the name of God, they would look at them like they're crazy. It just really blew my mind today when he said that God treats us like fruit. If one of us go bad, he just throws that one out and keep the good fruit. This is God he's talking about. The one that loves us always.
But they have to give that message to you to make sure you stay in, you're conforming to what it is they say God said to you. Now again, if God can talk to you, watch out. He can talk to me. If he talks to you, he talks to me. And God don't have to use a intercessor. He don't need that. He don't have to tell a messenger Ron Dyer something to tell Brother Kenny. He can tell the messenger what he has for the messenger. Because if he told the messenger to look to the left, well, the messenger can't portray that message to me because I might not be where I'm supposed to be. So when I look to the left, I'm not seeing what I'm supposed to see. But the message could be the same, but because of where we are in life, it's going to have a different connotation to each and every single one of us.
Right. And what we got to understand, though, because we are talking about God, God can use any avenue in which he chooses to get something across to you. And what I mean by that, God could use a TV show to enlighten you. He could use a billboard sign to enlighten you. All of this is at God's disposal, but God is talking to each and every one of us. And he doesn't have no intercessor per se that is going to be the one that deliver you a word from God every Sunday when he's talking to you all the time. So that's the concept. God can use each and every one of us to get your attention, to let you know. And the way you can tell that it's from God is because when it's being given, it's being received at that very same moment, and you can feel it within yourself that this is per se a confirmation. So God has already spoken to you, and sometimes because of our stubbornness, we don't exactly pay attention to what it is that God is saying. But then when he sends someone else just to confirm what it is that he's already said to you, then you know, this is how you become aware and know that God is talking to us. So he can use different abilities, but not in the manner in which they have taken this religion and this preacher and this priest level two. This isn't how God is dealing with each and every one of us. I don't have to go to anybody to talk to my brother. If I got something I want to say to my brother, I can call him up and tell him. I can send him a text. There are so many different ways that I can tell him that I don't need to go through somebody else. I don't need to go through anyone else. And me, with the limited power that I am using right now, have that ability. How can we limit God? How can we put God? We're not even putting him in a box now. We're putting him in a little tiny jar and putting the lid on him. And we can't continue to do that and think we are pleasing him.
We have to understand that to please God is to just breathe. For me to please God, I just have to take a breath, because I can't displease him or I can't anger him regardless of what you've been taught. So if we really understand that all we have to do, just as a messenger teaches 3 days a week, and every day as he walks his life, all you have to do is just realize, man, that you are a child of the Creator. You are part of the Creator. The Creator is in you. And again, it brings me back to, let me interrupt that for a second. When I hear you say, Brother Messenger, when I hear you say filthy rags, I remember growing up, I'm going to take you all the way back to East Paterson, New Jersey. I'm going to take us all the way back. You know who used to preach that sermon?
Who's that, bro?
Remember Huey Rogers?
Huey Rogers. Okay, yes, I remember
you
that.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a part that he had in his scriptures that we are like filthy rags in front of good parents. Mm-hmm. And again, at that point, we were immersed in that religious organized way of thinking, and that was a powerful message. But as you grow, message, and again, that used to be your guy.
That used to be your guy.
Yeah. And now we hear that message now, and when it used to shake us before, now it has very little meaning, because understand that I'm not a dirty rag. I am exactly, not close to, not almost there. I am exactly where I need to be, and I am exactly what God intended or intends for me to be.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And that's what.
I thought about Huey Rogers, and I said, boy, every Sunday morning, I don't care, on the way to church, after church. Oh, we heard that brother.
That's right.
Again, he was charismatic, and what he bought. Was exciting, right. and through excitement, we didn't even realize why we were happy, but we knew that. Yeah, when you keep saying filthy rags, it just kept hitting on me. Like, where do we hit? I heard that somewhere in a powerful message, and that was Brother Huey Rogers. But I want to say to Brother Huey, because he's with the Father right now. I appreciate that message then, but we got a little different message to that. No, you are not a filthy rag. You are a child. You are a person. Excuse me. You are a person that has God embedded inside of them. So it is literally impossible for anything to be filthy about your existence.
And just we have to come to understand, just because I don't walk the way you want me to walk and talk the way you want me to talk does not mean that I have in any way whatsoever upset the Creator. Because the, as you stated, the Creator can't be upset. Any and everything that you do because He has allowed it. And if He has allowed it, who? Hey, bless you, Sister Carmen. Bless you. He has allowed it. So if He has allowed it, that means it is okay. Your will is so important to Him that He has allowed you the opportunity to do what it is that you want to do. It is well with Him. And it can be well with Him when He knows what the final analysis is. If I give anybody $500 and tell you to go spend it any way you want, I'm not worried about how you're spending it because I've given it to you to do that. Now, how can it upset me if I've given you the $500 to spend any way you want? I should be happy with whatever it is that you brought with it because that's what you felt you brought with it. Now, you yourself might be upset next week when you realize you should have did something different with it. But that's the only thing. And we've got to stop taking this our feelings and our emotions and making it God's. Hello?
Amen, brother. Amen.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm right here with you, man.
It's just so important. And like I said, I from the sermon today, he got on explaining how God set up the churches. And God didn't set up the churches. If you read the scriptures and stuff, it was the disciples that set up the church. Jesus didn't even set up the church. Then they got God making people deacons and stuff like that. They've taken that from Jesus as Jesus took some of his disciples and had them responsible for different things as they were going about. But the things that he had them set up for was just so that he would be able to accommodate the people. He needed some people to make sure that the money was right so that they could have food, so that for these type of things. But Jesus never set up a church. He said to Peter, upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. And everybody knows he was talking about the heart of man. But we take that and we've twisted it and we've got everybody believing that Jesus set up the churches. But nobody can't tell me a church that he set up. He couldn't do it while he was here, so he left instruction for 11 other people that didn't understand what he was talking about when he was here to do that. And once again, the church, the setting up the churches by the disciples was of a good thing, and there's nothing that's so wrong with it, but you've got to stop with the lying, talking about Jesus set them up. Because he didn't set up any churches. But every time you turn around, Jesus set up, Jesus said to do this. Jesus said, no, this is what the disciples were saying. And the disciples, truth be told, is no different than a lot of these preachers out here today. Except for the disciples, Jesus picked them. And when he picked them, if you read in the Bible, you'll see where half the time they didn't even know what he was talking about. A couple of the disciples, when they accept the call to be a disciple, they thought that they were getting ready to do battle against the Romans to take over the land. This is what their thoughts were. And now we're basing our entire life on what they thought, and they thought it was wrong. And now people going around saying that Jesus had 12 disciples. That's all he had. But that is not true. Jesus was traveling throughout. And anybody that heard his, that heard the message that he was given and was able to go out and assist him or be able to tell the message after he left, they were his disciples. Mary Magdalene was his greatest disciple, but they don't mention her. All they mention is John, Peter, Paul, but he had many. He had a disciple by the name of Barnabas. It'll come back. But he had many disciples. But all we go by is the ones that, quote unquote, were written in the Bible. And we won't even do our research to truly understand the Bible and the Bible's writing. We just go with it. Now, if anybody else told you anything else, first thing you do, you start getting on Google and checking it out to see if it's real. But no, not that. We just going on what somebody told us. And if we really think about it, the first people to tell us this, they had no education. Somebody else was reading and dictating this stuff to them because they couldn't read. So somebody else was molding them into this image. And we have followed on with it day after day, year after year. And the God in us is doing the work, but because we've been taught something else, we don't even recognize it. We think it's somebody up in the sky when it's someone right within us that is doing the work. But because of our upbringing, because of the things that we've been taught over the years, they call themselves scholars. But this is stuff that they've set up. They've set up religious schools. How can you set up a religious school and the head teacher ain't there? How can you do this? Go ahead, bro.
We can set them up because we've convinced people that you have to go to seminary school. You have to go through matriculate through institutes of higher learning so that you can better tell the story. And all this is based on one book. You got people going to seminary school for years, and the main doctrine is one book. But we're going to take that one book and we break it down into the history and all. But again, if God talks to you, and in fact, you know what, Brother Messenger, just so we're drawing parallels, most of the people in the book called the Bible were not educated. So if you get back to the original premise, they got that messed up. And again, that's not our words. These are words that are in the book. They base their whole philosophy on. The only one of, in fact, the book says the only one that was really educated was probably Saul, because he was a tax collector, and they made sure. He was educated. He used to work with numbers. He'd get that money. So the Romans made sure. I'm sorry, Saul or Paul, when he was the Roman, and he was the tax collector before
he
the
was
road.
Saul. He was Saul at that time.
Okay, before the road trip to Damascus, and then again, the Creator had to shield his eyes, have another exciting event where he was blinded. Instead of just whispering in his ear,
hello.
Hello.
Hey, and not only that, he was so dramatic about it. Your name ain't even Saul no more. It's now Paul. Why are you changing my name?
Amen.
What my name got to do with anything?
But again, because if we're going to sell the theatrical play. AKA the Bible, if we're going to sell that, and if you look very, very rare. Or in fact, I would go as far. Now, again, I'm not a scholar or a student of that book to this degree, but I would go as far as to say everything in the Bible, when they want to show God's work, it always had to be some phenomenal major type production event. It was never the lame just got up and walked. It was never the blind man just received the word and he could see. There always had to be an audience. There always had to be something very profound to take place so that we reiterate into our thought process that because it was so amazing, it had to be God. I say it did happen. You just made it amazing.
Well, any and everything that God does is amazing. They just, as you said, they put it and made it into a big production. Not that God's work isn't a big production, but this is what they do to embellish, to get you into that state of mind. But anything, God, a major production is each and every one of us that wake up in the morning.
Amen.
And that is a big thing. Because technically, if we think about what we did the day before, there's nothing we did that was so great that deserved us getting up in the morning. So that's major right there, right then and there. But as you, the meaning in which you're getting at, it's not, you know, we don't have a big choir singing every morning saying, hey, he woke me up this morning, and let's put that on paper. You know what I mean? So he's performing miracles every single day, 24/7. But because, once again, it's not that the big production isn't put on. We overlook these things. And this is why we think that we have so much power, because we take away the things in which that God is doing within us, and we save God for that special occasion. You know what I mean? What we call a special occasion, when the rent need to be done, when we need a way made out of nowhere. That's when we save God. But when we look around, we will see that it's still just us. It is the spirit in us that is working, that is touching people and making things happen, but it is us. Do you think, well, what is it, about a zillion people here on the earth all together? And I know that number is crazy, but I'm just saying. When you think about all the people that are here, do you really think that God is sitting up there at his monitor and seeing that somebody down in Florida needs him right now? I got to stop because the person in Florida needs me. I was dealing with the person over there in Taiwan, but I got to shoot over to Florida. And when I leave Florida, I got to shoot to New Jersey and back down to North Carolina. Do you really think that this is how this whole thing is set up? Especially when we look around and all we see is ourselves. When do we start to understand that it is something within us, and that something within us is something that in one of our podcasts before we talked about, it's called DNA. Does anybody remember what DNA stands for?
I remember, but I'm not going to say it. No, I don't remember.
Divine natural ability. That's what we have. And that divine natural ability is the DNA of the Father, of the Creator. We have it in us. We are able to do all things through the God that strengthens us. We say it, but do we believe it?
Amen. No, we don't. If we believed it, our actions would be different.
That's correct. That's correct.
Some of us believe.
Well, a lot of us believe it, but we believe it. We don't believe it all the time. We believe it when we're able to pull off one of those supernatural things. But that same thing is happening with us all the time. But yes, some of us do believe it. Yes.
A lot of us believe it. I was talking about totality. Hey, but listen, that brings us to the end of our podcast this evening. And again, I thank everyone for tuning in. Sister Purr, how are you doing this evening?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Okay.
Bless Texas.
And there's Carmen. Nice for you to join us.
Hold on.
Sorry, could you say that again, please?
I said I have Sister Sunshine with me. We're in Chicago.
Hey, Sister Sunshine. Hey, how's everything?
Wonderful, wonderful, brother. Wonderful, wonderful.
Good, good, good. One day we all going to get together in the same place. And I'm going to set up like 7 microphones, and we're going to really, really have a real
that's
live
tonight.
Messenger podcast. Man. Hey, but again, trust me, wherever
Florida.
We go, it's going to be warm. It's going to be warm.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, it's always available in the sunny state.
That's right. Hey, but listen, that brings us to the end of our show tonight. But again, I thank everyone for joining in. And again, let the words that you hear, hopefully, again, let it resonate or let it marinate, then resonate inside you. And again, don't be afraid, don't be shy to tell somebody about the goodness of God and tell them that they have that goodness. All they got to do is just shake just a little bit to wake that spirit up on the inside of them. And they can enjoy creating the best life that they can. So I'm going to say good night, and I'll see everybody again Thursday night at 11 o'clock for the Messenger podcast. And hopefully, I want everybody to know, hopefully we're going to be moving our time up. There's been some changes in some folks' work schedules that's going to allow us to move the whole series of podcasts up to a better hour, not a better hour, but a different hour, which hopefully is going to drive more listeners to our show.
All things working together for the good. All things working together for good.
Hey, so everybody have a nice evening. Enjoy Chicago. And if you see Michael Jordan while you're there, tell him LeBron James is the GOAT. Hey, good night, everybody.
Bye.
All right, good night.